Hey, everybody. John said this was informal. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Informal. I guess that means I can take off my coat, yeah. Probably. But I. I'm thrilled to be here, and I've loved preaching in both churches, and I am so amazed with God's faithfulness. So much of our evangelism happens because we love one another, and we're going to talk about that. But let me give you first, John's already done this actually, but this is sort of a distillation of J.I. Packer. Let me give you a working definition of evangelism. And you know, the problem with this working definition in some ways is that it took me 30 years to figure this out. It did help to read J.I. Packer, but here's a very short sentence that I think is a good working definition of evangelism. It's preaching or teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. Very simple. Preaching or teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. So that is, we explain the gospel, we talk about the gospel, we try and get people to understand the gospel, but we also do that with the aim, not just for a data dump, but to help people be persuaded, such that sometimes the most important thing is how we present the gospel as much as what we say in some ways. So listen, I'm going to give you five motivations for good evangelism for 15 minutes, and then we'll have the panel, and then I'll give another very short thing. So very short, but even now as I'm going through these, be thinking about questions after the second session that you might want to ask. Write them down. I love doing Q&A, and we're going to do that after the second talk. First motivation for sharing the gospel. Number one, it's a command. It's a command. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15, there are many texts I could go here, but 1 Peter 3:15, we should always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. So you see that evangelism's not just a nice idea. It's not for Christians who have the gift of gab. It's not for your pastoral staff. It's a command for all believers. We're commanded to be ready. That's because the Holy Spirit is invisible, but he's at work in people's hearts all around us. We can't see him. We can't see his work. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is like the wind, but he's convicting people of sin. He's raising spiritual questions. He's leading them to truth. So be ready. Be ready for that opportunity to share your faith. Prepare your heart and mind to share the gospel by knowing the gospel. Now, we talked about the gospel in both services today about what the gospel is, and the test is, if you know the gospel, if someone asks you what the gospel was, could you tell them in a minute or two? Could you tell them what the gospel is? Think about that. God, man, Christ response, some kind of outline about the gospel message. Can you do that? Second motivation. It's true. The gospel is true. Paul says that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we are among all people to be pitied. But he did rise from the dead in 1 Corinthians 15. And if he rose from the dead, what other thing do we need as motivation to share the gospel? Really, I do this all the time. It's with an Afghani taxi driver in Albuquerque or on the plane with someone or someone I meet in a restaurant. They'll say, well, I'll give you an example. I was on the plane going back from Erbil, and I was sitting next to a fellow from Scotland. He was an oil and gas man, and I asked some questions about what he did, and he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor in Iraq, in northern Iraq. I say this kind of often. We're kind of up where Iraq pokes into Turkey, Syria on one side, Iran on the other. I said, it's sort of a tough neighborhood. And he goes, why would anyone ever want to do that? I mean, it just came out. I don't think he meant to be offensive. It's just kind of, why would anyone want to be a pastor in Iraq? And there's lots of ways I can answer that question, right? So I said, look, Khaled, I genuinely believe, deep in my heart, genuinely believe that this man Jesus got up from the dead. And he put his head back on the seat. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, right? I mean, if it's true, now, he didn't come to faith, but he recognized it's true, or at least I believe that it's true, and so that's why we do these crazy things, and it is true. He rose from the dead. Third motivation. It's the most loving thing you can do for a human being. It is the most loving thing you can do for another human being. Evangelism is a loving thing to do. It's a motivation to know that the gospel is the dividing line between eternal life and eternal death. Since there's no other name under heaven or earth by which people may be saved, we tell others. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, we persuade men. Since we know the fear of the Lord, he says, we persuade men. Paul knows judgment is coming. Judgment will come for all people, everywhere. People are lost. They're dying. They're separated from the living God without Christ. And the day is coming when those who do not know the Lord to be thrown into outer darkness, Matthew 7. Listen, it's not just my idea. This is not Mac's idea. This is the promise of Jesus. So we tell them the gospel with words. We tell them with words. It's a message. Let me say something else about love, as long as we're on the topic of love. Jesus in the upper room before his death says in John 13:14, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if, conditional, if you have love one for another." And in that same discourse in the upper room in chapter 17, in verses 20 through 21, same conversation with the disciples, he concludes with prayer, and in his prayer he says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's, brothers and sisters, that's us. We have come to believe. Jesus is praying, and here's what he prays, that they may be all one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us so that the world, listen to this promise about evangelism, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So do you understand that your love for one another confirms your discipleship, according to Jesus in chapter 13. And your unity as believers confirms Christ's deity. And that is an astonishing promise for evangelism. So when we get together and just love each other, you are displaying the truth of God. You are displaying the gospel. We had a young woman from Iran who came to faith in Erbil, and she wanted to be baptized to follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. And in Iran, if you are baptized, you are committing treason. It's the Islamic Republic of Iran. And so there's no due process for that. She would be under a death threat in Iran. And anyhow, she wanted to be baptized, and I was thrilled to do that. Her husband came, nominal Muslim. Her husband came, and their 9-year-old son. I knew they were there, and I wanted to preach as powerfully as I could, and I did. And Jafar, her husband, after the baptism, wrote me a couple days later. I expected, of course, him to tell me what a great sermon I'd preached. Not one word about the sermon. You know what he said? He said, "I couldn't get over the love. I've never seen anything like your church. I've never seen a gathering like this." This is his first time ever in a church. And he said, and everyone was unified, even though they come from such diverse backgrounds. There it is. Love and unity, confirming deity of Christ and our discipleship. Just by the way, this young woman named Kurdistan was found out by some radical cousins, put a death threat out on all three of them, even the nine-year-old boy. They were hounded out of Erbil. They fled to France. In France, they were hunted down there by these guys. They were very dedicated Muslim radicals. They fled to a refugee camp in Northern Europe. And we thought Jafar would never come to Jesus. He's lost his home, he's lost his job, he's lost his car. His own son is under death threat, all because of the Christian faith of his wife. And yet, there in that refugee camp, through the faithful witness of his sweet wife, Kurdistan, and the love and unity of a church, he comes to faith. Powerfully, comes to faith. Brothers and sisters, that should motivate you. It should motivate you to think the love and unity here that's available to you could see people like Jafar enter into the kingdom. 4. The gospel is powerful. It's just outright powerful. Have confidence in the gospel. So Paul writes in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That means we can be bold and clear with the gospel. You know that there's never going to be a world where evangelism is easy. Get used to that. Evangelism is always sort of rolling the ball uphill. I know that in my own heart. I have to make the decision to say, hey, I met someone you know this past weekend with, hey, I met someone at my church that knows you this weekend. Two very different statements, right? The first is just a friendly statement. The second is I'm looking for that opening. I'm looking for a way for the gospel to be talked about because I know that that's the main thing I need to get to. Get your focus off yourself in that way. Get your focus off a strategy or a method for sharing the gospel. Understand that the gospel is the center of power in evangelism. And remember, to what end? Salvation for those who are lost and hurting and living in darkness, according to Ephesians 6:19, where Paul says, pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. You know, if Paul needed prayer for evangelism, we do too. We should pray for our evangelistic efforts. And you should open up opportunities in congregations or home groups or wherever it is to allow for prayer for evangelistic opportunities to happen or evangelistic conversations that are ongoing. Pray for your friends and other people. 5th and last motivation, it's a privilege. It is a privilege to share our faith with others. You know, I don't know why particularly God has set it up for us to share the gospel. I tell him often, with some regularity at least, when I'm feeling not so good in my evangelistic efforts or I feel like I've blown it, that angels would do a better job. They would just, you know, if you just pick angels, what? Lord, pick an angel to do this. They won't be afraid. They're not going to mess up the message. They're not going to stumble over words. They're not going to offend somebody. Well, they might offend somebody. Maybe that's why. But anyhow, I am teasing about that. I know why angels don't do it. Partly because they don't understand salvation, right? They long to look what we have. They long. Can you imagine angels don't understand salvation because they've never been saved. They were born in fellowship with God. But we, brothers and sisters, have this great privilege to proclaim the excellencies of Christ. I know that one of the reasons Jesus has set it up the way he has for us to share, for us to be the ambassadors for Christ, is because it follows, his pattern. Remember the first words of Jesus in the book of Mark in chapter 1, verse 15, is that Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. First words out of Jesus' mouth in the book of Mark. We follow him. We follow his ways. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you want to follow what he does. You want to be like him. So to be like him is to share your faith in all weather, regardless of circumstance, reception, or outcome. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters, before we go to this panel, it's been my experience, this is a part of the privilege, it's been my experience when I share the gospel, I know Jesus more richly, more deeply. And when that happens, we increase our evangelistic efforts, right? Because look, here's the goal in evangelism in our privileged state for what happens in us, right? That when we share our faith, we fall more in love with Jesus. And ultimately, the best evangelism comes out of our love for God. When we have become so enamored with what he's done for us on the cross, when we see the beauty of his salvation, the sacrifice that he's made for you and me, the incredible promise of treasures that come to us in Christ, that when we live in that, when we live in that love, when we live in that understanding, you see, the gospel just comes out of us. You don't need a method. You don't need a program. You just need to know that as you're going through life in the love of Christ, it will come out of who you are. And that's what we aim for. That's what we're looking for, both us individually and for us as a church, right? Amen?